Hello, and welcome back to the Solo Adventures Together podcast. I'm Nurse Huckleberry.
And I'm Duder. And, well, I went somewhere interesting this week.
Yeah.
And that's what we do here. We send each other to random places and then report back.
And going in blind. So all you knew going into this event was when it was, mm-hmm. where it was,
yeah.
and how you needed to dress.
Yes, which was all, and I did the same thing to you last time,
mm-hmm.
and it was funny to me.
Uh-huh.
And now this time doing it, I was like, I was so anxious. I was like, all right, you said all these things, and then I need to kind of like, I didn't want to hypothesize as to what it was, because mm-hmm. you said, the one of the things you said was super unexpected, left field, you would never guess. So I was like, all right, well, I'm not even going to try to guess. Because I imagine you're probably right. I would never be able to guess.
Would you have ever guessed it?
No.
No.
Not until I entered the building and they told me what it was.
Yeah.
That I really understood what was going on. Because I looked at the ticket and I'm going to not say what it is yet.
Oh.
I mean, I looked at the ticket and I was like, Space Blaster. And there was no description because the screenshot that you sent me did not, it cut off right where it said summary of event. So that was interesting to know. So what did you tell me? So Space Blaster is where I went. I don't know how we want to structure this and how we get all the information out.
Mm-hmm.
But I have
a Space Blaster.
I have a Space Blaster.
Okay, so to begin, right, I'll talk about why I chose the event,
mm-hmm.
and then, and like the maybe your expectations once you figured out what it was.
Sure.
And then you can talk about what happened, and then we'll talk about like reflections.
Right? That sounds like that's a great structure.
That's the structure.
That's a great structure.
So,
how did you choose this event?
Yeah. So I was looking around Eventbrite.
Sure, as you do.
Look, as you do. So one of the rules is it has to be $50 or less. That's as much as you're allowed to spend on it. Parking, you don't always know.
But, right.
So, and I'm scrolling along, and I went into the hobbies category.
I need to look in the categories.
Because I was like, I didn't want, because I kept getting all these music things and like
there's a lot of scavenger hunts.
And like weird stuff, which I mean, a scavenger hunt might be fun, but I went in the hobbies category.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like pottery, there was a couple of different like learn an instrument things. And then I saw how to build your own Space Blaster workshop. And it's like, have you ever wanted to build an authentic looking Space Blaster and have a wall of Space Blasters in your home? And I was like,
no. See, I didn't look at the event, so I don't know all of what it said, all of that.
Yeah, it was like, build your own Space Blaster. You don't need to bring anything. Just show up just as you. And that it was an adults-only event,
mm-hmm.
and that adult beverages were welcome,
yeah.
And snacks were welcome.
And provided.
Yeah, they said that snacks would be there and that you could bring adult beverages if you so chose. And so I was like, and it went from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock in downtown in
right.
some like workshop. And I was like, this sounds pretty rad. Like, I was like, I would want to go build a Space Blaster. And like the Space Blaster pictures were pretty realistic looking. Like, I was like, okay, these are pretty cool. Like, this looks like out of a movie set.
Well, let me start it off here. I would 100% go back and take you and make Space Blasters. Because
yeah.
I think you would 100% enjoy it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a thing that I have never even thought was a real, like, was something that I could do. So once I found out about what it was on my way driving the event.
I told you that you didn't text me what I was going
right.
to until I was already on the way. So I did the same.
And so the only thing that I knew was that it was at 5 o'clock at this address, and there could be a mess, is all you told
me. Yeah, I told you not to wear your best clothes.
Not my best clothes, because there might be a mess. Good call.
Yeah, I figured there was paint involved.
There was paint, there was glue.
Yeah.
So I was driving there, and I saw that it was the Space Blasters, and I was like, okay, cool. So then I got there, and it was a very kind of complicated area.
It's like kind of industrial. When I was looking on Google Maps, right. It's like industrial looking.
So the place that I went, it was called Dystopian Studios, I think is the name of the studio that this place was in. And it was like number 9 in this big complex of artists' studios.
Right.
And it was an old brewery. This is what they told me. It was an old brewery. The whole place was an old brewery. And they closed down the brewery and just still have a bar. I don't know if they still brew stuff there, but it's much smaller. So everything else was converted into art studios. So people can live/work there if they want. Mm-hmm. And they're all like big and they could do whatever they want to them. So when I get there, I park on the street because I didn't know what the parking situation was like. I didn't know if I had to pay for parking or whatever, if it was like whatever. So I found the first spot that I could and then I walked in. And I wandered a lot. I walked by all these different, like...
Oh, it's a good thing you got there early.
Yeah, all these artistic facades that people have built on the outside of their studios because they can build out, and there's all these patios and cool artwork and everything on the outside. So I walk past it, and then I end up, and I, like, turn around, and there was this lady that was, like, waving me down and was like, "Hey, what are you doing?"
I was like, I'm looking for
number 9, and she's like, "Yeah, it's over there." And I was like, "Okay," and she just kind of gestured with her head, like, "Over there, like, you just passed it, it's over there." And so I walked back, and then I she yells again. She's like, "You just passed it again." And I was like, "All right." So then I walk around this fence, and it's unlabeled and doesn't have a number 9 anywhere.
Right.
I think it's because the door was open.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's a 9 on it, but it was sideways.
Yeah. So then I get in there, and then they're like, "Oh, just make yourself comfortable." There was no other people there.
Great, great.
The instructor wasn't there.
Great. Always good.
So I just kind of stood around inside for a minute, looking around. And inside, I have pictures that I will describe to you. Inside was like a super industrial kind of steampunky spaceship. All DIY with, like, so there's, like...
Yeah, I mean, this looks like a movie set.
It does. Like, it looks like Star Wars.
It looks like some dystopian future space station.
So he was talking about how some of these pieces came along. Like, some of these square-looking metal panels near the ceiling were lids of plastic containers.
Oh, I could see that.
And all of this is, like, all of the tubing is, like, cardboard tubing. And this was, like, the archway, half archway with the holes in it. It was from some big metal project that got torn down. He got a piece of it. And then, like, there's a whole bunch of... There's, like, vaults. There's that. We'll get to that. Let's see. What is this? This was, like, a little bar that they had set up. And a little robots and staircase up there. There was, like, an aquarium.
If you are watching the video, you'll see these pictures in the video. And if not...
They'll be in the description of the fourth wall. We can put them in that. We can attach them, I think.
Yeah, we'll put them with the video, or there'll be a link to.
It's a hard thing to describe.
There'll be a link to a post that has the pictures.
Okay. Anyway, so this place is super cool. Everything looks like it's made out of metal, and then there was the wall of the blasters.
Right.
So there's this huge wall of blasters. I did not get a picture of. So you can use your imagination.
Well, I saw that picture on. The listing.
Oh, so we could probably find the picture.
We can find a picture.
But imagine, like, Men in Black, when they open up that wall, all the guns. Yeah, it looks exactly like that, except for not as shiny. They're all kind of different.
Yeah, like, from the picture that I saw, they were more, like, Star Wars-y.
Very more sci-fi than
like maybe on the Martian. Right. Or, you know.
So, anyway, then what happened? Then the instructor shows up. I find out later, he's an ex-Marine.
Okay.
So, he's like in his 50s, and he's been doing art for 20 years. He owns 3 studios, like, kind of in the area. And this is the first time that they've ever done a space blaster...
Workshop.
We're
getting the first times.
We're getting the first times. Not including you were talking about it was adults only, right?
Yeah, and that there was one that was adults and children.
So he did one for teenagers and their parents before, and he said it was the worst time they'd ever had because parents think that they can just drop off their teenagers for 3 hours and not
participate.
So, like, basically his synopsis was I found out how much parents don't care about their kids.
Hmm.
So that was, he's like, I'm never doing that again. But this seems fun. So we then we all sit down. So there's six people in this class. I find out much later that only two of us had paid for tickets. So me and a girl who was sitting next to me. And then there were four other people he had invited that were his friends because he didn't know if anyone was going to
show
or he wanted to get a good run of the class to make sure he
like
was...
Like a practice run.
Right, so we were guinea pigs.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad we paid full price for you to guinea pig. Although I bet it was probably, interesting and fun experience.
It was. And, you know, they gave him as much shit as you'd expect a friend to do while he's trying to teach a class.
Yeah, that's fun.
So that was fun. So he had his laptop hooked up to a TV. Took mm-hmm. him about 10 minutes to get that set up.
That's good.
Because he couldn't figure out where the power button was on his laptop. It's a hard place to find. It's not the last key. It's like one of the volume keys next to it. None of the anyway. He shows us these pictures of space blasters in movies.
Okay.
And he was explaining about like, oh yeah, those are probably made out of these. Like that's all that stuff. And he has all these kind of pretty bad quality pictures of like Star Wars behind the scenes and like all this other stuff. So then he's like, all right, well, we're going to get started. He's like, I stopped by the dollar store. I cleared out all of their guns. And he brought, I'll put a picture up of, this is the gun that we started with.
Nice. It's like a pump action.
Yeah. So it's got four openings to shoot from, and it's got the foam shooters. And then you pull the little trigger back and it shoots one at a time and you go down the.
Okay.
While he was giving us the guns, he was explaining to us how there's this thing called, I think it's Gweebles? Gweebles or Weebles? Where it's like a name of something made up, I think in like Star Wars, behind the scenes, of like pieces of trash that can be used to be glued to stuff to make it look more like science fiction items.
Right, okay.
And I think it was Greebles? I think it was Greebles or Gweebles.
Okay.
I'll correct myself because I wrote it down, but I wrote it down wrong and then I forgot. So then he pulls out this big tub of trash, of junk.
Right.
Dumps it on the table.
Just start hot gluing shit to your thing?
Just like start, you know, sifting through, picking out what you want to put on your gun, what you want to put on your gun. And none of these people have ever done this before, not even his friends.
Right.
So he's kind of like, and he's like, oh yeah, this could do this, this could do that. He could take this thing and glue it here.
Okay, so this really does sound like a first class experience to me because you can be really good at something and be a terrible instructor.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that you're not good at it. It just means that you're terrible at explaining it because...
He did go through a pretty elaborate description on how to choose the right gun to use. Mm. And it's one that has a lot of little nooks and crannies and height differences.
Right.
And also one that, like, has movement to it is also helpful. And then he said, that doesn't matter as long as they're all cheap. So he had a bucket of 100 guns. He said he bought every single one of these at the dollar store.
Hmm.
So he bought the whole wall.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, what I would assume that he probably learned from this is that he needs to show you three or four examples of how to use the pieces of trash before anyone is actually going to try it on their own.
Well, it took a while for everyone. Everyone kind of started hoarding pieces that they thought were cool, and then nobody knew how to
affix them.
So then, you know, he seemed like he was a genuine, wanted to help everyone. So right. He like walked around, he's like, oh yeah, like what do you got? Like he'll check in and be like, oh, what do you got? He's like, oh yeah, that looks cool. Oh yeah, I like that. And then he'd be like, well, how are you gonna put it on? And everyone was kind of like, I don't know. And then he eventually like took one of his friend's guns and was like, well, we could put this here or there, or like we could put it up here and make it look like that. And he starts moving it around on different parts of the gun to show it. And then be like, we could saw off any part of this, we could drill holes in it, whatever you want, you know? So then I decided to deactivate the gun, is what he called it, and make it so it can't shoot.
Right.
So I pulled the trigger back and sawed it off with a handsaw that he had.
Right.
on a table.
Sure.
And then...
As one does.
Yeah, as one does. So then I could make it, cover it up because there's like a hole there. But anyway, I gathered all my stuff. But if you want to see, here's the pile of trash.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of stuff from like old like USB things to plugs to broken locks to just pieces of plastic, little wrenches from like IKEA furniture.
Lots of fittings and gears.
A lot of plastic. There was a razor blade in there. He didn't want that in there. So some of the stuff I grabbed a spark plug. I grabbed a little like motherboard looking thing, a little tiny motherboard looking thing.
Some kind of chip. A Whippet canister.
Yeah, I didn't end up using that one. But I did have this little red gear looking thing with a screw in it. And then he busted out of glue guns. And then he was like, all right, we're going to be painting these also. So anything you don't want painted, don't put it on yet.
Right.
So then everyone started putting all their stuff on, and like you had mentioned, there were drinks and food provided. Nobody brought anything except for me. I brought the one can that I was like nervous to drink because no one else brought anything, but someone did bring a gallon of wine, room temperature white wine. That was an interesting choice. Yellowtail.
That was barefoot. I saw the picture.
Oh yeah, it is barefoot. Sauvignon Blanc. With a bunch of cups.
Rough.
Room temperature. And then there was like those like sugar cookies with the frosting on top. And then some mini Ritz cheese crackers.
Okay.
So that was what was provided. And I understand this is the first time. And he didn't know if anyone was going to bring anything. He didn't say to bring anything.
Yeah. I mean, it did say, like, you can bring stuff.
I will say that they almost did finish that whole bottle of wine.
Oh, gosh, really?
Between the three or four.
But you just drank your margarita.
I had my one margarita. What does one margarita do? One margarita. I'm going to open my legs. I open my legs.
To the idea of
space blasters.
Getting blasted in space.
Which, hilariously, he kept describing them as space guns, and he was like, whoop, can't do that. Because legally, you can't do a class on making any gun.
Right.
So he's like, you got to call it a space blaster. He kept telling himself, he's like, space blaster. Because you can't say space gun or else you can't post it on Eventbrite, apparently.
That does not surprise me. Eventbrite can be very particular with their listings.
Yeah.
Okay, so you... So the other people there, I mean, like, you kind of mentioned that they were his friends, but they hadn't done this before. So was everyone having, like, what was the general difficulty level? Like, were people doing well at building?
I think everyone did a great job. I wish I had taken pictures of everyone else's guns. Blasters. Everyone's blasters. Because they were all very cool and very unique. And I would say his four friends, I could tell that they were all, like, creative with their hands. Mm-hmm. Because they made cool things. And then the other lady that was there... normally like me, I could tell that she was into she was wearing a hat that had dice on it.
Okay, so maybe like a D&D. Cosplayer. Yeah,
D&D. Love D&D. It was the D&D dice on her beret, which is it was a cool hat. But maybe she had worked with like minifigures or some sort of crafting like that. So I could tell everyone was good. And then I was kind of like an outlier in working with my hands that much, I would imagine. But like one of the other people that was there is another teacher in the complex that teaches welding and woodworking. Mm-hmm. And she was cool. She was the one that flagged me down at the beginning.
Oh, right.
And scared me.
Gave you weird directions.
Yeah. Weird directions and a very stern tone. I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here. Anyway, no, they all looked really cool. And what's next? What's next? Oh, there's the aquarium.
Yeah.
There were real fish in there.
Yeah, with a helmet.
With a Star Wars helmet, I think, or like a, and then...
Something. And we got a little, like, Terminator-looking skull in there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then other pictures. Anyway.
So are you going to show us what you made, or...?
Yes, are you ready to see it?
Yeah!
So, wait, hold on. So then we painted them. We had everything glued on, and then we spray painted them black outside.
Right.
Right. So we did 3 coats of spray paint.
Okay.
The black matte spray paint, which looked really cool. And then, I don't know if I want to tell you or show you first. And then we made it look like metal.
What, spray with silver and then wipe it off?
No. There was a whole different technique on making it look like metal. So you get a piece of cardboard.
Okay. Yeah, I'm following. Okay. You're not talking.
There's a specific paint, silver paint, that I don't remember the name of that I'll find out. But it was like a really high quality silver paint. He was like, don't use any other silver paint besides this silver paint for this specific technique. So the reason we painted it all black was so we could take this silver paint, you get like a big paintbrush, like a big, thick, big, wide, mm-hmm. 2 to 3 inch wide paintbrush, and you get a tiny bit of silver paint on it, and you basically brush it all off onto the cardboard. So there's virtually nothing on the paintbrush. And then you paint the gun. So it like looks like, it looks like silver underneath the black almost.
Right.
So it looks like metallic. It's very cool. Let me show you. All right, let's see. Here is my space blaster.
Wow. Very cool indeed.
So I tried to stick with like movement, right? So so something still move. That spins, that does something. And then this spins, this little thing, this little hook.
And you can still pull the trigger regardless of whether it works. In the picture, it looked much bigger. The size of the blaster. It looked like it was going to be like a bigger blaster.
I mean, they might just have had different blasters.
Well, no. Just from the picture you showed me.
Yeah, it's like a little pistol blaster.
Which I love that this is like an old
VGA cable.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a VGA cable, right? With the we'll put some pictures and a little light bulb on here.
Yeah.
What other
little components do you see on there? There's the spark plug.
I mean, that's a spark plug.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a little gripper, little hook thingy.
Uh-huh. And then we've got...
Those are boobs.
Yeah, but I think these are rivets for pants.
They might be rivets for pants.
They look like rivets for pants. And then you've got... I would describe this as a
beard trimmer guard.
And then you've got this screw here. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this whatever little panel... And then I would guess that this was added on to, well, maybe not.
No, that was on there. So then I painted it. Mm-hmm. I had a little bit of trouble picking the colors because I didn't want to overdo it. Like you can see, I only really painted these little pieces, a little red and a little green, and then a little green over here, and then a little red over here.
When you did the metal, so did you do the metal first and then do the second layer of paint of the colors?
Yes, so it completely dried after the silver, and then I did another layer of like this kind of
pinkish
with these two colors combined, with the green and the red with the silver, and it made it look really cool. But yeah, this is the blaster.
It is kind of rose goldy.
I know. And this everyone was complimenting mine. Like I was very good at painting, and the way that I put the stuff on like was really cool. And the other ones that people did, there was one very steampunky one that looked rusty and it was really cool. There was one that was kind of like really bright pink with a teddy bear on it that was really cool that he was making for his girlfriend, I think. And, you know, people got very creative. Someone cut off like all their nozzles mm-hmm. and somebody like, you know, stuck stuff in these things and it's very cool.
Yeah, that's rad, man.
And what do you think?
Ooh, and it's got a sight.
Yeah, I didn't want to block the sight.
It's got a sight. I'm very impressed. Mm-hmm. It is very space blastery.
Yeah, and you know what it'd be perfect for? Space kitchen.
Space kitchen. Space kitchen indeed. And the thing with this, part of the reason why I sent you to it, one, is because when I am making things, a lot of times you're like, I wish I could help you, but I don't feel like I would be a help.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is one of those things where it's like, when I'm working on stuff, like, I'm just kind of guessing and testing, like how you did this, where it's like, all right, I got a bunch of crap here, and I got to figure out how I'm going to make.
Well, yeah. I mean, for example, like, so this is, there's screw holes all over the gun, right? So there's screw holes keeping it together, putting one side to the mm-hmm. other side. So I utilize that to my benefit with this little spinny piece that's just in a screw hole with a screw, but not actually screwed in.
Right.
And then the wire, the like VGA cable that's coming along the side, is that's also a hole there, where I stripped mm-hmm. back the rubber of the wire because it was only this. It was only four inches long, so I stripped down the casing of the wire so I could fit it in the hole and glued it in there. And the same with the little motherboard panel. It had welding nubs on the back and also a little plastic bracket thingy that I couldn't get off without pliers or whatever you use to get welding off. It's like a soldering gun,
soldering
iron. So I had to figure out, it took me a long time to figure out where to put that. Mm-hmm. This also, the motherboard thing, let's leave that there. Motherboard piece, like a little panel, I had left unpainted initially because I was like, oh, that would look cool not painted on
right, that. Just looking like a motherboard.
And then once I painted the whole gun and it dried and I
and
tried
it
to
really
figure
stuck out.
It really stuck out. So then I did like a makeshift paint job on it before putting it on there. So like the light bulb looks all cloudy mm-hmm. and God, this is a very visual show.
Yeah,
right
it's
now.
Unfortunate how visual this is.
Well, let me describe the color of the gun, right? So it's like, it's all black with silver and kind of a rose gold metallic shimmer to it and some red and green highlights on both sides.
Yeah, I would describe the whole thing as being very Mad Max-y.
Oh yeah.
Like I could see that being very much in a Mad Max type where it's like steampunk-ish, but Mad Max is more dystopian, like I normally consider steampunk to be more on like the brown and gold side versus
yeah.
Bert, what are you doing?
This is less steampunk.
This is less steampunk and more on the like
it could be space
dystopian.
Space mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm really proud of it. I'm really proud of it. Very okay. proud of it.
So I guess my question would be, since this is an event that you would not have would if you had seen the event.
Yeah.
Would you have chosen to go to it?
Probably not. Mostly because, I mean, knowing what I know now, yeah, for sure I would have. But if I didn't know at all what it was, like I'd probably just scroll past it. I don't know, depending on what it looked like, what the post looked like, I guess. I don't know. I mean, because how expensive was this?
It was $50.
$50, and I got 3 hours of lesson and a gun to take home.
Yeah.
Blaster.
And they provided all of the tools.
And drinks.
Regardless of how good the drinks were.
I mean, tools, they gave us a hot glue gun and a drill
right,
to share.
Right, but you, and paintbrushes, and a space to do it in, and all the gibbets, and, like, you know, if they had told you to bring all those things.
Gibbets is the
yeah,
the crocs.
The
greebles.
Greebles. Whatever. If they had told you to bring all those things, they could have still charged $50.
Yeah, that's very true.
To bring a blaster and all, you know, and you have to, you know, they might have probably said, like, you know, please everyone bring 10 pieces of junk.
Right.
Right, to contribute. And remember how I told you when I was a kid I did junk art?
Yeah.
This is very much what junk art is like. And so I kind of thought that that would be fun because I really enjoyed junk art in that you take something and you're just like reimagining its purpose. And I know like in Lego, it happens a lot where they take something where it's like, oh, this is a banana. But then
well,
you
that's
can
one
use
thing,
that banana in 50 million different ways.
Right. And that's one thing that I was really considering when building this. It took me back to when we had our big tub of Lego at home. You know, I don't remember ever buying a set.
Yeah.
And we just had this big tub at some point in our lives for years and years and years where every month or so it'd be like, oh, let's bring out the tub of Lego. And mm-hmm. then we'd, you know, take out the one green panel of floor.
Right, that you could put stuff on.
You could put stuff on because we're building on a rug. And then building whatever came to mind. You know, sometimes we'd build like a regular house. Sometimes it'd be a space battle. Sometimes we'd try to make the weirdest looking car. Mm-hmm. But it would all be from pieces that we could find from this big bucket. And this reminded me a lot of that because, you know, I found the pieces that I thought would fit and I found the pieces that I liked. And there were a lot that I liked that I couldn't find places for on the mm-hmm. blaster.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like you showed a lot of restraint in actuality, because like there's definitely pieces that have been added, but there's like a nice balance between new things and it's still
right. Because like if we,
you know,
like
it doesn't look horrifically, like it doesn't look like you just covered the whole thing in crap.
So I added the spinny thing. I added the cable, that's two. The motherboard, that's three. This is four because the light bulb wasn't there before. I added that light bulb. That's what. I'm sorry, I lost. Can you keep track? I already lost count.
You're at four.
Four. And then five was the guard for the razor clip. Then the
spark plug
on the front. And then the nipples. On the bottom, the rivets for the jeans.
Right.
And then this is two pieces. One is this round piece, and then this is like a suction cup on the bottom where it holds this kind of, what do you call that?
Clamp.
Like a clamp. Like a, it's like a
tension clamp.
It's like a tension clamp where you could put something in there.
You would clip a, like a cable or a.
Right.
Honestly, it looks like something you would clip a pipe into.
Yeah, it looks like a pipe guard or. Something you could, like, if you put it on your, if it was, like, a suction cup to your mirror or a window.
Oh, you know, I could see you putting a hairbrush in it.
Hairbrush or, like, a
I'm so sorry, audio only, folks. This is quite the description. So
don't worry, there'll be pictures of the gun.
There'll be pictures. So, I would say there's, like, approximately 10 items.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, 9 or 10 items that you have affixed to this, but a lot of them are on the smaller side. But, like, you know, I'm sure that there are some people who really just loaded their
there were
their
some people that definitely loaded it up for sure, and stuff kept falling off,
yeah,
because we're only working with hot glue,
right? And that's another
so
part
you need
of
enough surface area
and it can't be that heavy,
right?
And depending on what material you're working with, do they have like sandpaper so you could scuff stuff up?
Oh, we scuffed the whole thing up before we painted it,
yeah,
and then I think that worked. Yeah, that's one thing I forgot to mention. We sanded the whole thing down, not like extreme. But
well, no.
Just enough to get enough microplastics in our lungs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, otherwise the paint doesn't stick very well when it's shiny. It needs to be a little scuff for it to stick.
Well, the black paint was matte.
Right, but if the plastic of the gun is
shiny, he did say to focus on the shinier parts.
Yeah.
Which were the rounder parts were shinier too.
Yeah.
But
because paint just doesn't like to stick to it. It's just slick, so.
Right. No, he had talked about how people ask him how he got into making the blasters and stuff. And he's like, well, you know, like I know a lot about guns because I was in the Marines. And he was a swim instructor for the Marines.
Okay.
Yeah. And a surfer from Southern California.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
And he was like, yeah, I'm either the best or the worst person to be doing this because like I know a lot about how guns are made and put together. But, like, everything I do, there's no, like, science behind it. It's just putting junk on junk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, that's pretty much my life. I put junk on junk, and it looks nice.
I mean, it's cool. Like, and this looks, I wish I could see some of the other people's, because, like, but they, you know, mostly just to see the array of what all came from the same instructions, because I always find that interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, some people went really bright on their colors.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, someone went all pink. But, like, basically did what I did with my pink, but they went
way heavier
and a way brighter pink. So it was mostly pink. And then there was someone else that did, like a really vibrant blue and red and, like, a neon green all on one. And there was another person that did, like, he made it look radioactive.
Ooh.
Like he used like the radioactive green kind of thing, and he put radioactive logos on it, and it looked almost like a creature in a way. Like it had more organic features, like more bends, like there was like a spoon he added, and like
a
couple of other rounded things, because mine's pretty sharp.
Right.
Hi, Bert.
Yours looks very spacey.
Yeah, mine looks spacey. His looks like a Fallout gun.
So there was a picture in there, though. What was that? What was the other thing?
What other thing? This is a picture of the bongo. Bongo.
Hold on, can I see this?
This is the bongo case.
I thought that this was going to be like a picture of everybody with their blasters or something. Like
he did take pictures.
Like,
I don't know where they're going to be posted.
I was hoping it was going to be a picture of people with blasters, but no, this is
it's a bunch of children
a group
with instruments.
Of children, probably between the ages of 5 and 10. with various instruments.
All Photoshopped.
They're all Photoshopped. Like, I don't know that any of them are in whatever horrific blank room.
Let me see again. I didn't actually look at it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That is bizarre. But no, this was the bongo case that the bongos came with. And I guess that's just still in there from when we bought it.
But it was like advertising. On the gun. I thought it was like, well, oh.
The paint might have still been a little bit tacky when I put it in there. Part of it.
Well, I guess my question would be, so you said that you'd maybe be interested in going to other classes at that studio?
Yeah, they were saying, I need to check their website. I forget what he said it was called, but it's on the Dystopian Studios website. It like links to their other classes. So there's a bunch of other stuff that you can do. And they have a bunch of studios that can be rented out, starting at like $25 an hour, which is not that bad. And they have big, big spaces.
Wow, interesting. Other question. Do you think that you would make more props like this yourself? Like, did you enjoy it enough to do it in your free time?
I think so, but the only thing that they have that I don't currently is a box of junk.
Right, but we accumulate junk.
What? No. No, we don't. What do you mean?
I'm sure there's so much stuff that you could find.
I bet.
But also, I think some of it, too, is...
I would love to make props for the show.
Some of it is also when you are looking for something or you are looking at something with the intention of using it. Because, like... You say that we don't have, like, a box of junk, but I have been keeping toilet paper rolls and just, like, you know, I have a whole stash of them. Because when I make piñatas or when I make other, like, you know, like, I keep cardboard. And, like, and you know, I go and I hunt for cardboard and stuff. And, the Robo costume, like, the boobs on that were just some bowls that I had found, some plastic bowls. And that kind of stuff. And I think a big part of it is when you start looking at things with the intention of, I might use this or you have a project in mind, then it's much easier to pick out what could be useful.
Very true. And I learned that too. And I would love to you know, if for example, if we plan out the next Space Kitchen episode, we could probably have more props.
Right.
You know, and that might be a fun project. Besides the spray painting, can't do that indoors.
No, but we can do that downstairs. That's okay. Well, and the other thing that I think would be fun too is we can also make things that are temporary.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like a cover for something. Like, oh, the phone could have like... a cover
a little
on it
cloche that's futuristic.
That's like spacey looking or, you know, things that can have like...
The phone cozy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We put something over top of it and then, you know.
I could see that. Or how like the fridge could have like another panel in front of it or like...
Right.
The hood could have something interesting on top of it.
Right.
The hood
that just makes it a little more spacey.
Future, yeah.
You know, where it's got like the hood but just a bunch of knobs on it and it's all just a cardboard thing we just stick up there.
Yeah. Which looks good on camera.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it. It only has to look good on camera. I mean, this looks good in person, too. It definitely does not have the weight of a...
You got to pretend that it's heavy.
You got to pretend it's heavy. Which, if you've ever held an actual firearm before...
They're heavy.
They're much heavier than you expect. I feel like the first time that, as an like holding a firearm, I was like, dang, this is like... This is heavy, because if you hold a fake gun, it's whatever, but when you're holding, like, an actual...
I mean, we could put some lead weights in the sight, if you want, make it feel heavier.
In the sight?
That's the only opening.
You could drill a hole in there. I mean, you took out the
inside?
I mean, you could. Just fill it with concrete,
I think these holes go to the chamber inside. Yeah, to fit your whole finger in there.
You can feel it's got a little...
She's currently sticking her finger... She's fingering all the holes in the gun right now.
You see I see a little blue in the sight that you missed.
Okay.
On the paint job, just saying.
This is an audio show. It's perfect.
No, it's really fantastic.
Especially for my first try. I feel very proud of it.
No, I think it's great. I think the one thing about this in particular is that they're hard to duplicate because you're using junk. And so it's hard to find, like, if you needed to make 100 of them, you'd probably have to figure out
the
something.
Right kind of junk, yeah.
Right, you'd be like, okay, I could access 100 spark plugs. I probably can't find 100 of these things.
Well, and that's one of the things he was talking about, too, with Star Wars, specifically, with lightsabers, how those are made of junk in the original, like, mm-hmm. trilogy. And the way that they made them was from, like, an old camera, like a 50s, like, camera that had a big, long stick for a flash. So it like, he had a whole diagram of which pieces of the camera they took off. And they had a bunch of these, I guess. Like, I think, like, 20 or 30 of them. So they were able to make that many.
Right.
But now, if you can find that camera in the wild, complete, it's worth, like, a fortune. Because collectors want
to be able to make their own.
Or just to be like, oh, I have a camera that could be a lightsaber, right? Or, like, you know, has all the pieces for a lightsaber. And that was super cool because it was a cool diagram of like, the camera kind of taken apart and all of the pieces from the camera that were taken off and then put back together to make a lightsaber.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the next slide. He's like, whoop, there's them using them. And it's just a picture from the movie of them using lightsabers. I'm like, that's stupid. Why would you add it? That's a dumb addition, but it's funny.
Part of why I was interested, well, because I would want to go to this too. So, and that was part of why I sent you to it, because it was something that I'm like,
the guinea pig.
Well, no, because I mean, it's not that I made you the guinea pig. It's just more of, I thought that because I would like it, but I didn't think that it would be something that you would pick for yourself to go to. And I was like, oh, I bet I would enjoy this. And I'd totally make Space Blaster. Like, no problem. That sounds like a fun time. And that's why I picked it, was because I felt like it was something I wanted to go to. And so I figured you'd probably have fun in it too. But that, I don't know. What did you think I was going to pick for you?
I didn't have any clue. Because I know that we both are on the same wavelength of, like, we want it to be completely out of left field. We don't want you to expect anything.
Right.
And even if you do, then it's something that you know, you've never done or aren't that familiar with.
Yeah. I would say that me telling you to just dress normal but not your nicest clothes leaves the, like I kind of guessed my first event of the tea party in that I figured it was probably going to be some kind of women's networking or an etiquette or maybe like a garden party type thing based on the...
You got to not guess. You just got to go in.
Well, I mean, you how am I supposed to hear, you know...
Wear a hat.
Elegant. Dress elegant. And not expect that, like, you know, it might be like a women's event, especially at 11 a.m.
That's true.
Like, you know, there was a lot of factors that it could, you know, build to this.
Sometimes you're too rational with your thinking and you come to the conclusion too quickly and it's correct. You know, I went in and I was like, well, you're not going to tell me what it is. I'm not going to try to guess. And then when the day came, I was like, oh, I wonder what it is. And then it wasn't until you told me what it was and I was like, oh, Blaster.
No, I don't know. So you would go to another, I mean, okay.
I'd go back to this, maybe. I mean, $50 is a little steep for now that I know how to do it, basically.
Well, you like to go again.
Right.
$50 is, but now that you, do you feel like you got $50 worth of knowledge?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So it was definitely worth it, but
definitely
maybe not
worth
like
it, yeah. Not like
not
a weekly thing.
Not like a repeat class.
No, not necessarily.
If he was to offer classes on
maybe like other props, like building
right,
a wall.
Like building a wall.
Or like any sort of usable props, maybe like mechanical props in any way, or like other tools that could be space related.
I could see maybe like armor. Like an armor class.
He does make suitcases. That look like they got chains and stuff on them.
Like, because I could see, you know, if you did this one and then being like, oh, I want to learn how to make like a cool chest panel or something, that would be...
Apparently he's been in like this custom making for a long time. He was talking about one time going through TSA before, like, 20 years, like 30 years ago almost, like in his 20s, before 9/11.
Right.
So it was like not as tight security.
Right.
And he had a suitcase full of S&M stuff. That was one of his clients, apparently. But like but he had made a bunch of it.
Oh, okay.
Like a lot of it was his creation.
Right.
So like, you know, explaining to the whatever TSA, the TSA, right, I don't know if it was agent. TSA, right. It was, and he was like, yeah, they're like, I could tell that they were like, this guy's crazy. This guy's, especially in like the, you know, 90s.
Right, and it's just like a bunch of shackles and chains.
And dildos and ball gags. Yes. It wasn't just the norm, like it was everything you could think of. And I could tell that he kind of loosened up after the third glass of wine and started sharing more information.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That was fun.
So he was also imbibing. But, I mean, that is fun.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess especially when you invite a bunch of your friends.
Yeah, it was like apparently he like throws parties all the time, and he has like this huge networking event that he throws every couple of months, but it's always on a Tuesday at 7 o'clock, so we can't go. But then he also like he'll throw parties out in the fucking desert, kind of like Burning Man, but on his own. You know, he's deep in the art.
It does give burner district. Vibes.
Yes,
it very much like, and especially
ex-military.
Yeah,
burner vibes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and like for everyone back at home who's listening. So Deuter and I grew up in a very artist-heavy area, but also used to be a military base up there.
Right.
And so there are a lot of ex-military artists who live up there, and it really is the same thing, where it's like very steampunk. There's a lot of welders who make weird welded.
A lot of wood art.
A lot of weird wood
carving
art.
Carving and stuff.
Yeah, and like...
Glass blowing.
Yes. There's all sorts of like that tracks. Mm-hmm. Like I can, and especially the slight interest in both like survival and art.
But he also has, you know, another, long hair and a beard.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet you felt at home.
I really did. I saw him at first, and I was like, "Oh, you're just a hippie, aren't you?" Because he's wearing like. Combat boots,
yeah,
but like cargo shorts and a big oversized like Henley shirt that looks like he's maybe been wearing for 3 days, and yeah. Then a backwards hat over some long blonde hair.
Yeah, he just sounds like a.
And he was super jolly. He was
like
a really nice
dad.
He was a very humble dad. I don't know if he is a dad, but he's a very humble dad. Where like he's super cool. He probably gets stoned all the time, and like. Makes art.
Like, I would, that, you know what that sounds like? Honestly, a professor at HSU.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Do they let them wear shorts? Oh, okay. I don't know. I'm in.
There are not really rules. It's Humboldt. Well, Cal Poly. Sorry.
Cal Poly.
Humboldt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say that was a great success.
I mean, I am overjoyed with how much fun I had, and excited about.
Did you end up chatting with the other classmates much, or?
A little bit. I talked to him. One of them had asked like how I found out about it, and I told them that you recommended it. Basically, get this guy out of the house. You know, I was trying to just not be like, oh, it's for a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one asked what I did for work, and I told them about the stream, and then, you know, they were like, oh, what's Twitch? And, you know, half of them are older than me, and the other two are maybe the same age. But then one of the lady that also paid for ticket was super interested in Twitch and was like, well, what is it? Like, what? And I told them about, like, the comedy, the cooking, and then I told him it was Nurse Huckleberry, and she looked it up and was like, there's cats. All right, I'm in. And I told him about Bert.
Yeah, where
who's currently a lump in the curtains right now, and how he's a trained cat, and everyone was excited about that. But I, you know, it's one thing, like, I enjoy talking about what we do, but I also don't like it to be the center of attention for too long.
Yeah.
So I, like, try to change
the
topic.
Really?
Yeah. What?
Well, you only get upset if I talk about the show for too long. But it's only because people ask questions because it's so interesting.
I know. It's super interesting and it's so foreign. People want to know. I understand it. But, like, if I have the power to change the topic about to someone else, I will do it. Especially if, like, I'm the only person talking about it. Right? I'll answer all the questions. That's fine. But yeah, I didn't quite get a gauge. I mean, we just had, it was kind of like a nice group activity. We had laughed, you know, I made some jokes and it was pretty, okay, Bert just came out from behind the curtains and is now sitting on your shoes.
Yeah, that's nice. You look comfortable, Bert.
That looks very uncomfortable.
Really uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable. But no, I mean, it seemed like a very wholesome group of people.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, they do stuff all the time there, so.
Cool. I mean, I'm down to go check out stuff. And I think, one, I do think that we should probably address the elephant in the room in that, A, we live in L.A., and right now there is a lot of bad stuff happening in L.A. There's the ICE raids, there's all this kind of stuff going on. And I think that now, more than ever, it is so important to be going out and attending events in the community and to be supporting artists and to be, like, actively engaging and meeting new people and, like, you know, building more and more community. And I think that, because, like, you know, there's a certain amount of where I got, like, a little bit nervous about, like, should we even do the podcast? Like, is this appropriate right now to even be talking about with everything going on? But then I was like, no, because, like, it's important to support the arts because especially in times of trouble, like, art is so incredibly important. It brings people together. It sends, you know, it shares deeper meaning. It shares message. It's a form of community. And, like, doing something like this where you're coming together and just being creative and making stuff and meeting new people and getting to engage in community. And also now now it's like, oh, there's this whole community of artists over there that we can participate in
connect
and we
with,
can
yeah.
connect with and engage in. And as with any community in Los Angeles, these are communities that are full of immigrants and people from all different backgrounds and cultures, and that's what makes it so interesting because you get to hear everybody's, you know, like what they do and why they're here. And I was thinking about it and I was like, is it appropriate? And then yes, I think more now than ever it's important for anyone to be going out and to attend events in their local community and to be supporting the people who are doing the work to try and bring folks together and to get to teach. And not every event is going to be great, but, you know, either way, hopefully, you know, you're at least supporting the effort.
Exactly.
But, well, anything else?
No, I mean, that was pretty much it. It was a cool spot. I don't know if I showed you the kitchen. The kitchen is like, it looks like it's straight out of Star Wars. Like, the whole fridge just looks like it's a metal box.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And super, everything's like really weathered.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it's on a spaceship, basically.
What are you doing?
Bert.
You want to come up here? Come here. You want to come say goodbye? Come here.
You going to say goodbye, Bert, or do I have to do it for you? Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the second episode of Solo Adventures Together. Bert.
Oh,
there it is.
Yeah,
there he is. Yeah, show your butthole to the camera.
Butthole to the camera. There he goes.
No, oh, don't, yeah. don't jump up there. No.
All right, just sit. Thank you. Oh, that's a good boy. We really have been enjoying doing this, and if the podcast grows and there's the demand for it, we've kind of talked about, so right now we're doing it on a bi-weekly basis, so every other week, and taking turns on who goes to what, and so my turn will be next to attend an event.
Mm-hmm. Gotta start looking.
So you'll have to start looking, and I think the biggest thing being, if folks really like it if we get enough, I don't know what enough is, but enough positive reaction to it. And I mean, obviously this is only our second one, but hopefully we'll get, you know, like, it only improves, right, as we go on, as we get, you know, better.
I mean, at some point we'll probably find a way where we don't have to rearrange the entire house to shoot it.
That would probably be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
But yeah, let us know what you liked or what you want to see more of. And we're considering if things are going well, maybe we would do every week, but the alternating weeks would be we both go do something that we talk about.
So it'd be one I go somewhere, one you go somewhere, and two where we both do something.
Where we both go do something. Yeah.
That would be fun.
Which I think would be, then that would be together adventures together, but you know.
Solo adventures together, in parentheses, together.
Together.
Yeah.
I mean, we could both attend the same festival and split ways.
Well, we also could go to the same event.
And not hang out with
each
other.
And not, and pretend like we don't know each other. And get that genuine reaction. Bert, is this really the time for this?
Yeah, I think it is.
Is really the time to get belly rubs?
Belly rubs.
I'm gonna space blast him.
Bert, don't look right at the blaster.
I'm gonna get space blasted, Bert.
Oh yeah, I'm getting some belly.
Okay, well you enjoy the belly. We're gonna end the show.
Okay, thanks so much for watching, everybody. Again, if you like what you see, depending on where you are, leave a comment, leave a like, let us know. You can always send us mail, send us emails or something.
Yeah, send us mail.
And then, what was the mail? You set up a new email.
Oh, contact@boardco.co.
Yeah, if you want to send us an email.
Should I make a podcast at boardco.co? No, let's do contact.
Contact@boardco.co.
And you can send us an email.
Send us an email.
Wow, you could even type in the email words. Nice words.
Like, wow, I wish you'd blast me.
Yeah, do that.
Type that.
That'd be a great email to receive.
All right, we've gone off the rails. Thank you, folks, so very much, and we will catch you next time.